The scripture reading today comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, the first three verses, and then verses 14 through 25. Beginning with verse 1 of Joshua 24. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders of Israel, its leaders, judges, and officers. They presented themselves before God. Then Joshua said to the entire people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your ancestors lived on the other side of the Euphrates. They served other gods. Among them was Terah, the father of Abraham of Nahor. I took Abraham, your ancestor, from the other side of the Euphrates. I led him around through the whole land of Canaan." And picking up with verse 14, "So now, revere the Lord, serve Him honestly and faithfully. Put aside the gods that your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if it seems wrong in your opinion to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Choose the gods whom your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in the land you live. But my family and I will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "God forbid that we ever leave the Lord to serve other gods. The Lord is our God. He is the one who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. He has done these mighty signs in our sight. He has protected us the whole way we've gone and the whole way we've passed and all the nations through which we've passed. The Lord has driven out all the nations before us, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God." Then Joshua said to the people, "You can't serve the Lord because He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He won't forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you leave the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn around and do you harm and finish you off, in spite of having done you good in the past." And the people said to Joshua, "No, the Lord is the one who we will serve." So Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen to serve the Lord." And they said, "We are witnesses." "So now put aside the foreign gods that are among you. Focus your hearts on the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord, our God, and we will obey Him." On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people and establish just rule for them at Shechem. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's a story that has been told and retold about the French military general Napoleon Bonaparte, who once found himself in a battle from which he deemed it would be necessary to have his troops retreat. He ordered the company drummer to beat a retreat. After issuing the order, the young drummer sounded a call for the charge. Napoleon repeated his order to the drummer to beat a retreat. The beat of the charge continued. Napoleon, furious that his order had been ignored, demanded to know why the drummer hadn't followed the order to beat a retreat. The young man, trembling in fear before the powerful general, timidly replied, "Sir, you never taught me to beat a retreat, only to beat a charge." On hearing this, Napoleon responded, "Then beat a charge." When the troops saw Napoleon's confidence, they charged and went on to win the battle. Joshua doesn't seem to be much of a leader who had beating a retreat in mind either. He was sent out as one of 12 spies to scout out the promised land by Moses. 10 of the spies saw that they were outmatched by the opposition, and quickly they beat a retreat, wanting to pick a leader to take them back to Egypt. Clearly outmatched by the opposition and standing in the minority, Joshua beat a charge anyway, saying, Don't be afraid. The Lord is with us. As Joshua went on to lead the Israelites, he continued to come up against barriers along the way. Take Jericho, for example. It was a securely fortified city, locked up tight. Joshua would not be discouraged by the barrier of Jericho's walls. He ordered his army to circle the city with priests sounding a charge on trumpets made from ram's horns for 6 days, and on the seventh day to circle the city 7 times. Joshua told the people, Matthew, shout to the Lord, for the Lord has given you the city. You know the rest of the story. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. There's something about the heat of battle that seems to inspire strength and determination needed to face overwhelming opposition, to find courage when others don't share your vision, or maintain the perseverance that brings down whatever barriers may get in your way. We want to believe that God is with us through those difficult challenges. It is what every good leader tries to instill in those in whom they are leading. But what about when the battle is over? What about when the destination seems to have been reached? Doesn't there come a time when you can simply just sit down and appreciate the fact that you have finally made it to where you always wanted to be? Isn't it time to bask in the rays of success? In this morning's scripture reading, Joshua stops the people as they stood in the promised land, ready to make his farewell address. He could have said, just look at us. We made it. We are living in peace as a new people in a new land. And me? Well, my work here is done. But that just wasn't Joshua. He wasn't the kind of leader who would ride off into the sunset without sounding a call for the people to continue what he and others before him had started. Joshua was a confident, charging ahead kind of leader. He was about advancing, conquest. He looked always to the victory yet to come. He did not know how to beat a retreat. He knew only how to beat a charge. He had no intention of leading the people in conquest just for them to sit down on their laurels and go no further. It looked like a great place to settle down and raise a nation, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land where you were your own master, a land in which to finally put your wandering feet off and enjoy a well-deserved rest. Wouldn't we all like to get to that place? Maybe we think we're already there. But was Israel there? Are we? Are we ever in a place to just sit down and relax, our journey done? Does our God ever beat a retreat? In this discourse, Joshua addresses the potential for returning and retreating into complacency. Complacency remains a risk for all of us. Joshua's warning to Israel and to us is vigilance. Don't get too comfortable. Don't become complacent. Don't forget who you are or where you came from. Don't forget what you still have on your to-do list. Don't retreat. Lest we stall out in our own spiritual journeys as believers and as a congregation, let us hear the call of Joshua. Joshua issues a call to remember, reflect, and renew. Joshua begins with a call to remember. Ah, the sacred task of remembering. Remember the generations gone by. Remember the journey that brought you from where you were to this place. Remember the covenants by which you have been guided and blessed. What transpired in this scene in the scripture reading is nothing new. It is an extension of the covenants that had already been made with the people during their wanderings in the wilderness. Moses went up to God on Mount Sinai, where the covenant was offered to Moses by God And the people accepted that offer in Exodus 19. The covenant was sealed with a formal ceremony in which the blood of the covenant was splashed on the altar and upon the people in Exodus 24. That covenant stood on the foundation of a series of yet other covenants that had already been offered to the people, initially to Noah and all living creatures in Genesis 9, before it was subsequently renewed and reshaped by being offered to Abraham in Genesis 15. The same covenant was renewed with Isaac in Genesis 17, and then with Jacob in Genesis 35. This remembering of these covenants was not to be a quick flashing of their lives before their eyes. It was to instill a deep personal identification and reconnection with their past. Neither should this remembering become its own retreat. It was not a remembering that sets the arrival at their destination above charging forward toward what still awaits. Joshua's call was also a call to reflect. Remembering is one thing. To reflect is a whole nother thing. Reflection is remembering with understanding. To reflect is to remember and recognize the hand of God that was at work in all that you remember. To reflect is to integrate all the events being remembered, to interpret them, and to find a trajectory that continues to guide your journey forward. To reflect is to remember without allowing memory to become a final resting place. This is a remembering that is intended to instill a deep personal identification and reconnection with your past. It is a remembering that perceives a responsibility to remain committed to charging forward. So Joshua issues a call for a renewal of the covenant at Shechem, saying, "Choose today whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This is not a no-brainer. Faithfulness to God is not easy. Acknowledging God requires the reordering of everything else in life. It takes dedication, devotion, determination. God's people are duly warned that life with God is rigorous and demanding. They must purge themselves of competing loyalties. They must quit dabbling in idolatry. They must reject any and all lesser gods and commit themselves to worship and obey the Lord in all areas of their lives. The people quickly affirm that they will never forsake the Lord or serve other gods. But they are not only imitating their leader, because they have their own reasons. In verses 17 and 18, they recall what God had done for them in the past, bringing them and their ancestors up from Egypt out of slavery, doing great signs in their sight, protecting them along the way and among the people. Because of what God has done for them, they choose to serve God. And in verse 18, they add another reason. For the Lord is our God. This God whom they choose to serve is their own personal God. It is interesting that Joshua was not satisfied with this one-time affirmation that the people would serve only the Lord. He pushed them and continued to push them to repeat their response, as though repeating it would help them embed this commitment within themselves. It's important, as the sacred work of remembering and reflecting may be, perhaps it is the work of renewal that serves to embed in us the commitments that we have made and have been made prior to this day, making them and renewing them in every new day and every new place. Let us imagine ourselves today at our own Shechem. Will we be content to simply retreat into our past? To retreat into complacency when all seems to be going well, content with where we are? Or will we beat a charge, moving ever forward into our future by renewing our commitment to serve our God faithfully? The choice is ours. Some who have been worshiping with us are prepared to affirm their choice today. They could have been content having found a good place to worship, to settle in comfortably. But they come today standing in covenant with this congregation, taking their place alongside us, committing to serve God faithfully as we beat a charge, moving ever forward together. I'm going to invite those who are becoming members of St. Luke's to come forward today. Penny Johnson got connected to our congregation during COVID, during her husband Tom's illness. That verse from Joshua was Tom's favorite verse, so we had to use it today. Penny's been worshiping with us virtually through COVID and in person since. Natalie Springer is coming, along with Michaela's assistants. Natalie's been worshiping with us in person for quite a while. Gotten acquainted with Natalie and Michaela and reconnected with Mickey Mouse. John Kritos has been worshiping with us on occasion for a while and helping us out during Margie's injury at the organ and piano and playing the organ for us, the hymns on the organ today. And John, welcome to you, and we appreciate all you are already doing for St. Luke's. Josiah Baker is also joining today. Josiah is usually here in person and worships with his mother-in-law, Tammy. But both of them are ill today, so Josiah is worshiping online. He's worshiping virtually with us, and he is prepared to respond to the vows and the comments of the live stream. So we're receiving Josiah as a member today virtually. So I ask those who are here today, do you desire to affirm your baptism into the faith and family of Jesus Christ? Do you renounce the powers of evil and desire the freedom of new life in Christ? Do you profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciple, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best as you are able? Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to grow in the Christian faith and be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, celebrating Christ's presence and furthering Christ's mission in all the world? Do you promise to participate in the life and mission of this family of God's people, sharing regularly in the worship of God and enlisting in the work of this local church as it serves this community and world? By your baptism, you were made one with us in the body of Christ, the church. Today, we rejoice in your pilgrimage of faith, which has brought you to this time and place. We give thanks for every community of faith that has been your spiritual home. We celebrate your presence in this household of faith. At St. Luke's, we affirm that all people are created in God's image and are lovingly blessed in God's grace equally. We are an open and affirming congregation, actively expressing Jesus' inclusive embrace of all people. Let us, the members of St. Luke's United Church of Christ, express our welcome and affirm our mutual ministry in Christ. As we read together from the bulletin, we welcome you with joy in the common life of this church. We promise you our friendship and prayers as we share the hopes and labors of the Church of Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we continue to grow together in God's knowledge and love and be witnesses of our risen Savior, charging ever forward. In the name of Christ, and on behalf of St. Luke's United Church of Christ, we extend to you Christ's love, welcome you into the company of this local congregation.